deal will be great.
Yes.
Listen to Jude. Again, I can't say enough about this wonderful book. It's only one chapter, but it should probably be 15, at least 15 chapters, because, again, I don't mind repeating over and over, it's so condensed. It has so many wonderful facts, but they're so summarized in such a way that just Jude actually assumes so much knowledge among the readers of his one epistle. Short one, but it's so packed. And so we have been going, and I like to go and really look at this chapter as I have, because it's of great benefit. It's probably the strongest chapter against the apostates. The strongest chapter against what's going to happen to the apostates, the wolves that come into the Lord's gatherings in sheep's clothing and try to destroy their faith and their confidence. So let's just read today. Well, just for connection, let's read verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. It was a physical destruction and physical fire, but also it's emblematic of the eternal fire that these apostates are going to suffering the vengeance of the eternal fire in the hands of God. Now, likewise, now this is the characteristic of these apostates, some of the characteristics. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defy the flesh. So you have the filthy dreamers, that's one. They defy the flesh, that's two. They despise dominion, that's three, and speak evil of dignities. That's four. You could actually give four messages on that verse, just one verse. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Now here again, you could give three messages about the way of Cain and then the heir of Balaam and then, of course, the reward of gainsaying of Korah, the heir of Balaam for reward, and then they perished in the gainsaying of Korah. So the Sodomites that the Lord had to go and destroy the whole plain and Sodom and Gomorrah. And, of course, that was like a monument of God's vengeance toward all the ungodly. He's saying, Jude is saying, basically, look what God has done to the children of Israel who sinned in the wilderness. Look what he did to the fallen angels. And look what he did to Sodom and Gomorrah. And as sure as the Lord's vengeance was executed toward these three parties, His vengeance is going to be executed. He is going to seek vengeance upon the those who are the apostates that are coming in, seeping in among God's people. So it says, this is the instances. By these instances, Jude keeps reminding of the warnings and the terrible consequences of gross sin and the overwhelming penalty of those sinners who are basically involved in sinning gross sins against God. Namely, these apostates, the false teachers coming in. Now, first of all, Jude says that they are troublers. They try to corrupt the churches. Now, why would you say here's a church, a body of believers in a local community, local gathering, accept to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and having fellowship and coming together and worshiping God and the Lord Jesus Christ and giving Him thanks for His finished work, as we did this morning, as we thought about the death, burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on our behalf, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death on our behalf. Why would complete intruders, evil people, come into these gatherings and try to completely destroy their faith? Now here, let me say again that once a person is saved, once a person has received the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and Lord, he's always saved. Once truly saved, he's always saved. Now, if he doesn't follow the precepts of the Lord here on earth, God can make his life hell on earth. But he's saved. He's going to be with the Lord in eternity to come. But these people would come in, they are actually intruders, and also it says they are filthy dreamers. They're men in their dreaming. It's an expression of foul and perverted fancies. These dreamers, they're not dreams in their sleep, but they're just in their foul thinking, their fancies, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. And what they want to do, they want to satisfy the lust, their lust. And their first characteristic, it says, defiling the flesh. Defiling the flesh, like the people of Sodom. They resemble the Sodomites, defiling the flesh. That measure was just passed this last Tuesday, in this state, defiling the flesh. And the spirit of slumber is upon them. They don't think about things eternal. They just want to think about things that would glorify them, their flesh, their bodies, their minds. They want satisfaction here and now. And if the fictions of their own brains, they're dreaming dreams that would actually defile the flesh. And how could they do this? Well, first of all, they have to deny everything that pertains to God. And I mentioned this before, and I don't mind mentioning again and again. They go among Christians, and the first thing they do is to question the infallibility of the Bible, the infallibility of the Word of God. Well, when you begin to cast doubt on the Word of God, when people begin to cast doubt on the consistency and the accuracy of Scripture, well, then they say, oh, there are a lot of inconsistencies. They can't prove a single one. They oppose the Trinity of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit. They contradict the deity and sonship of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was fully God and fully man. That's the only way he could be a complete substitute for the believer. A man, without being God, cannot fully understand the mind of God and cannot fully understand the requirements of God concerning man's sin. The Lord Jesus Christ had to be God and had to know the mind of God perfectly and had to know exactly what is required to pay fully for our sins. God manifest in the flesh. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And this is why he says, you destroy this body, you are going to destroy this body, but in 3 days I'm going to raise it up again. Yes, the substance, the reality is here. Oh, thank God he came and he died for our sins. They depreciate the office of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have an advocate with the Father. He said, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, he knows our nature. He knows we're capable of sinning. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, who is the righteous one. Every time we sin, every time I sin, the Lord in effect says, Father, I have paid for that too. And the Father is so agreeable. Yes, son, I know. I know I'm with you. I know. I'm 100% with you. You have. They depreciate the offices of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he is exalted. And one day he's going to crush, literally crush the enemy and send the enemy into hellfire that is going to be, they're going to be there forever and ever. And then, of course, they are contrary to the free grace of God. They're contrary to it. They even deny God. They defile the flesh. They basically follow and walk after the dictates of the corrupt nature. They think they're great. Their bodies are great. And yet they come and they intrude. They come into among the fellowship of believers and sit there, holier than thou attitude. Just sit there. They defile the flesh. And they defy their own body. Of course, you may say, well, all sin is defiling. Of course it is. When any time a man sins, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, doesn't make any difference whether it's small sin or a big sin. Sin is basically something that's contrary to the will of God. It defiles. But it says these sins were notoriously so. Now, why is that? Well, because unchastity is a dishonoring act against the body and also against God. The body is defiled. And the body is supposed to be the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit, the temple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm crucified with Christ, Paul says, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And we go and defile the body. He says, no, you can't. It's extremely, extremely sinful of defiling nature. They defile the body, which ought to be, of course, the temple of God. And then the lust also make the affections to be judges. If they don't have God, if they don't have the dictates of God in their hearts, well, what is going to judge them? Well, it's their affections, what they like. Oh, how can I get this? How can I get that? How can I get this thing for myself? And then it says they despise dominion. Well, they deny God. They despise all kinds of dominion. Brothers and sisters, these things are not something so far-fetched. They're right here in this country. I keep reminding people over and over and over, and I'm so more aware of this than probably most people because I've been here close to 60 years, came when I was a kid, and I have seen how this country morally has declined since I was here. When I came, I could see on Sunday mornings, grandmas, grandpas, children, grandchildren, dressed up with their Bibles in their hands, walking on the streets, going to church. They may not have been believers, but there was the respect for God. Today, they're denying even God, and they're denying God's providence. They deny the dominion and kingly power of Christ. They don't care to be subject to Christ and reject. It's supposedly to be inconsistent with their Christian liberty. They should be able to do anything they can, anything they want. And to be under the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's unheard of. Me, myself, and I, and nobody else. Rejected as being a restraint on their lust. And they choose rather anarchy and confusion than to be under the order and control of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of confusion in this country today. There's a lot of anarchy. I don't mean just on the streets. Yeah, they're on the streets also. But I mean in so-called religious gatherings. And again, I thank God because of His mercy that there are a lot of people who are saved in this country. Thank God for His mercy and for His grace that a lot of people are saved. And we have eternal life because of His grace and mercy. Thank God for that. But also, brothers and sisters, there are a lot of phony meetings that are going on, led by these apostates. And the other characteristic of these apostates is that they speak evil of dignities. They speak evil. They want to have unrestrained, uncontrolled behavior. And they don't like any kind of dignities. Jude may be using this term to cover all kinds of authority. God and angelic and of course the Lord Jesus Christ and even the authority on the earth. Did you know that we should be subject to the powers that be? Even though the powers that be may be wicked. Now, as long as they don't intrude in our Christian faith, we have to obey. Now, if somebody says, well, George, I want you to teach same-sex marriage, I'd say, no, I won't. Now, that's different. But otherwise, the government is there to help us, to protect us, and we need to obey. That's what God says. All kinds of authority, and especially celestial authority. Certainly the dominion of Christ. and of course, they say they speak railingly against dignities. They have no respect to God or man. And they disown all kinds of allegiance. And then, of course, having discussed the conduct of these evil men, now Judah is presenting an example. And he's saying that even Michael the archangel, he restrained himself against the dignities as when he was confronting with the devil. And he only could say that basically that the Lord is going to take care of you. Let me just read the verses. When contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Here is Michael the archangel, and the devil had a dispute, had a disagreement, and yet Michael the archangel just says that the Lord rebuke thee. He didn't take things into his own hands, but he left everything in God's hand and in God's power and in God's will. They were actually disputing over the body of Moses. There are a lot of opinions as to what was it exactly about the body of Moses that they were disputing about. A lot of people think that basically the devil wanted to discover the body of Moses and kind of make a monument where the children of Israel, instead of worshiping God, the true God, that they would worship this monument. Okay? But then again, some other people say, well, yes, they were disputing over the body of Moses because there was a testimony of the resurrection on the Mount of Transfiguration where one of the three was Moses in body. So the devil wanted to basically try to hold that back too by controlling the body of Moses, whatever. But there's one fact that's clear, and that is this. Apparently Jude knew that the hearers knew exactly what he was talking about when he said about the devil and Michael the archangel were disputing over the body of Moses. But the fact is that Michael the archangel says, I want to leave that in the hands of the Lord. And he restrained himself, leaving all judgment and vengeance to God. And even though Michael the archangel is going to be active again and physically throw the devil out of heaven one day. Now, let me just say one thing before I finish. When he was contending, and that's Michael the archangel, when he was contending with the devil, he basically left the rebuking and the vengeance to God. Now, that does not mean that we should have the devil have his way. Michael the archangel did not allow the devil has his way. And the Bible says, James says in chapter 4, verse 7, says, resist the devil. We resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist the devil. Well, Michael, the archangel, resisted the devil. And the Lord wants us to resist the devil. And it's interesting that our Lord Jesus Christ did not contend with the devil when he was tempted after 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, was he? And yet he resisted the devil, and the devil left him. And he, in Gethsemane, there was temptation. He resisted the devil. On the cross, there was contention, and he resisted the devil. The reproaches and the sufferings on the cross. And he resisted the devil, and he wouldn't give in. But he left everything in God's hand. And the Lord wants us to be completely, completely dependent on him. It's contrary to what man wants. Man wants his children, for example, to grow up to be independent. God doesn't like that. He wants his children to be dependent. Man wants his children to just kind of go their way and do their own things. God doesn't like that. He wants us to cling to him and call upon him 24 hours a day. That's so contrary to what man wants. God wants us to completely, day and night, every minute, to depend on him, and the Lord Jesus Christ did. And that's the only way we could resist the devil. We know God's will, God's strength, increased faith, and we could withstand the devil, and we resist, and the devil leaves us alone. So Jude says, watch out for these intruders. Watch out and get rid of them. And don't let them come and just take over and try to weaken your faith. And thank God for our meeting here. I see it just a strong body of believers. And again, I say, these young people, we are so blessed. The Lord is honored in their lives. As I see young people just getting stronger and stronger in the Lord all the time. May the Lord bless all of you. Thank you so much.